Yes, yes. Now, first thing I'm going to do is, God has given me something to do with every place I go. So I'm going to do it here. And I believe that you're doing a very good job here, okay? But as I pray for these people here, I'm praying again also, and you'll hear it in a prayer, for this age group all across the nation. All across the nation, okay? So I would like those older teens, young adults up to age 39, to come forward and stand here in a row for me. Thank you. Come on, spread out a little bit, because I'm not going to run out and grab a hold of you. God is going to reach out and touch you. That's what the important thing is, okay? Yeah. Yeah, you hold. All right. Yeah. Okay. You're still going to get a second assignment after this one. Okay. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for these faithful, wanting to, desiring to be all that you want them to be. I thank you so much, and I know everyone in this room feels that way. But I think there's a special movement of you right now in this age group, Lord. And I cry out, Father God, that you will refresh them. You will refill them all across this nation. And there's many in other places in this nation that are frustrated with their peers of this age group. They say, why can't they see it? why are they so blind? Well, it's the age we're living in. And so I pray, Father God, that you will give them divine appointments. You will give them all kinds of opportunities to share your word and your power of your Holy Spirit that takes the blinders off, that allows them to see the truth. And they will always share the truth in love. I thank you so much for them, Father God. And I believe this is a fundamental part of the revival that's going to take place this year in our nation. Very, very important. And so, Lord, the rest of us, help us to sow into their lives. Help us to mentor them whenever we have the chance, wherever we go. Help us to train and equip. Help us to release them to wherever you want them to go. And not hang on, but understand they belong to God. They belong to God. They are His army this time. And I think in many ways they're the Marines. I thank you that their faith is greater than the faith of that age group in my generation. And I thank you, Father, because it's needed. So I know they're called to this time and born at this time and here at this time because you want to use them. So help us constantly to be thinking of them, including them in every part of what we do, and giving them lots of opportunities for outreaches and ways that they can get to and be with peers and joining them together in this valley, Lord. There are so many groups like this that I'm standing in front of, so many that you're starting to bring together, Father. Bring them together. Bring them together that they can invade the Lehigh Valley with your word, with your power, with your life, and most of all, with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go back to seats. Well, I told Rhonda I was going to talk about Psalm 37. And the reason I was going to talk about Psalm 37 is because it says, fret not. It says, fret not. Now, I'm not going to take a whole bunch of time this morning to go into the America that we're living in right now. But Ursina puts it very succinctly. Everything's upside down. Everything's upside down from what it should be. You see, the world around us calls good evil and evil good. And a couple weeks ago on a Friday, I had to go and testify at a hearing to the character of the man that had been accused without any evidence. Okay? And there were a group of us. And thank God, God is moving. It's not done yet, but boy, there's been a good first start. But there's so much around us. So I'm going to ask you a question today. What is your attitude today? Do you understand that your attitude affects your altitude? Your attitude towards God affects how far you're going to go with Him. And God wants us going this way, not that way. He wants us going up. Now, a lot of times it's like this. I can't tell you it's a whew, but I can tell you that that's where He wants us to go. And what will take us there is our attitude. Do you understand every day you've got a choice what your attitude is going to be towards that day? My dad used to put it this way, which you've heard me probably every time I come. But, you know, he says, when you get old, but you will. So he says, I tell you not to, but you will. So he says, when you wake up in the morning, get out of bed right away and get going. Don't think about the aches and pains and whatever else is in your body. Just get moving. And you know what? After about a half hour, I'm not thinking about any of those things anymore. I'm busy. Busy doing the things of God and with Him and having fellowship with Him and communion with Him and all of that. So, do we have an attitude of faith, of humility, of surrender to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master, and serving the Father, our Heavenly Father, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Okay. We are ministering to people all the time, serving our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father poured out His love through Jesus Christ and has given us an opportunity to participate with it. He gave us a free will so that we could love Him back. If we didn't have a free will, we wouldn't have any choice in it. And we'd be serving Him out of fear and all kinds of other stuff. But He gave us a free will. So we can say, Daddy, I love You. I want to please You today. I want to be Your ambassador, Your servant, Your great high priest of royalty that we are as we serve. We're all sheep. There's no one higher than the other in God's sight. And if you know anything about herding sheep, they're not the brightest animal in the world. But they learn to follow. And as they follow, the shepherd's heart, the shepherd's life, the shepherd's protection, the shepherd's everything comes into them. And if one of them goes astray, He leaves the 99 and goes after them and pulls them back, rescues them. I had 40 years of rescuing. Yeah, and when they had this nice celebration for me, I was starting to get, yep. And then God says, remember, I rescued you every time. And you said, you're absolutely right, God. All through that 40 years, or I don't think there was a month went by that I didn't know what to do about something. And God was there, right there, helping, encouraging. So we're a brother and sisterhood. That's what we are. And that's what was talked about this morning, about caring, encouraging, strengthening one another. So we know the world we live in. We see it every day. In fact, I've had person after person after person telling me, I'm not watching the news anymore. I've had it. Not going to do that anymore. I watch a minimum, believe me, enough to know what to pray about, but that's it. Yeah, I don't have the long talk shows and all that kind of stuff on. Even if they're good, I don't have them on because Satan tries to use that to get me to fret. What does the word fret mean? It's not, we don't use it a whole lot today. Well, I looked it up, and, I'm definitely not a Hebrew scholar, but I looked it up, and What it means is, it means to stir up. It means to agitate. First irritate, then agitate, and then it's going down a path towards, if I can use the word, depression. And all the stuff, disillusionment, depression, all that stuff down there. Because there's a thought out there, and Satan peddles it every day very, very hard. We can't do anything about it. Yeah, that's out there. And unfortunately, many Christians are accepting that. We can't do anything about it. We can't make a difference. You know my life story. We make a difference. And your life story, you make a difference. We're making a difference every day. And we've talked about already in the service various ways that we do that. So instead of getting up, we're to put on the armor of God. We're to go forth in the Holy Spirit to war against the principalities and powers. And we have the power through God, through the Holy Spirit in us, the same power to raise Jesus from the dead, to tear down those strongholds in our lives first, to tear them down in the people around it, to deliver people that need it, to have the healing flow, because it's about Him, not us, and He does it, like we said today. He does it. But you know who He's looking for? Willingness. 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 And as soon as we get a little bit of pride, He does like He did to me. He reminds us of the facts that He's doing it, okay? Dave, you were rescued. 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 Yes. Amen. So, with that, I'm going to go into Psalm 37. I promised to do. Let's see, I don't need this. I don't need this. Yeah, I do need this. This is all scattered today because I was really battled a lot before coming here and been battled for months, in fact. But out of the whirlwind, I'm coming. And order and all the disciplines, all the things needed are coming and arising. So, Psalm 37, I have at the top of that psalm, the heritage of the righteous, the calamity of the wicked. The heritage of the righteous, the calamity of the wicked. It starts out, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Now, in Psalm 37, over and over again, he's going to say what happens to the wicked. And he's going to say, don't fret. He says it three times specifically, but all through the whole psalm, it's there. And he does two things for us who believe. He gives us instructions. In this time that we live in right now in America, and he gives us his promises as we do his instructions. So think of Psalm 37 that way. It's the promises to us. It's the what we're to do. And as we do those promises are ours. Right here on earth. Not just up in heaven. Right here on earth. Our eternal life began the first day we asked Jesus to come into our heart to be our Lord and Savior. And it's been growing, 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 growing since then. Praise God. Okay, so, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Trust. All right. Hebrew, bata. I'm pronouncing it terrible. B-A-T-A-H. But it means depending upon. Having confidence in, relying upon. Okay? Yes. In Jesus Christ, we are to have confidence in Him. He is who He says He is. It's not a folklore. And we need to realize we need to depend upon Him. And as I walk through today, I have to rely on Him. Rely is even a little bit further than depending upon Him. Oh, I depend upon Jesus. Relying is relying on Him all through the day to get from this situation to the next, to the next. Okay? Then it goes on to say, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourselves in the Lord. Wow. Okay. What does delight mean? Well, G-I-L is a Hebrew. Filled with gladness. Rejoicing. Shouts of rejoicing. Songs of rejoicing. Joyful praise. Joyful worship. Jubilance. That's what delighting is. We go through the day. You know what keeps us in that? Thankfulness. God, I just thank You for what You've done just a little while ago. I thank You for, see, you know, wildlife is me. So when that cardinal comes down at the end of my time with the Lord, or the doves come, or something else, oh, God, thank You so much. And I go on my way rejoicing. Because I know God has been there, and His presence has been there. And Ursina has her set of ways that God speaks to her, roses and all kinds of stuff she sees. You know, things in the sky. We had an opportunity to see a whole field right up close from here to the door of snow geese. I have never been that close to snow geese before, but fortunately, I didn't crack up the car. But, I mean, it really took our eye. Oh, my gosh. Because they're away, and you really don't see what they look like. You see them in a field, a great big white area of these birds. But when they're up next to you, oh, my gosh, they are magnificent. And if you don't know, snowbirds turn their color. When the winter comes, they turn white to blend in with the snow. We don't have as much snow as we had before, but the idea is for their protection and God taking care of them. Okay, so anyhow. All right, it goes on. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. Commit your way to the Lord. G-A-L-A-L. Literally means to turn it over. Roll it over. What is rolling over to God meaning? You're rolling over the care, responsibility, trusting Him with your life, trusting Him with what you think you can do, but you can't. That's the part I like. Because the hardest part for us to die is to let go of control. Men, boys, you know that. We're men. We can fix it. No, we can't. But we think we can. And God has to work in us especially that we do that. And women, you don't have all the answers. Thank you. We got to be fair about this. We got to be fair about this. Oh, I know. I have a wife that is very, very sharp in everything. But I have to tell her once in a while, look, I'm a human being, I am a man, I am stubborn, but every once in a while, I have a truth to share that's good. So, you know how you get along? This is a big secret. You find a workable way. You're not going to agree on everything, but you find the workable way to glorify Jesus, to glorify God the Father. Yes, you do. Okay, so reading on here, He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Be still is be still. I have found that's actually the part of a definition of being still when you look it up. Okay, it's D-A-M-A-M. Be silent. Be quiet. Rest. I picture sometimes, you know, a soldier at parade rest. That's what helps me think about some of this, okay? He is silent. He is there waiting for his instructions. Same time, he's resting. He's not struggling to get the instructions. He's not struggling somehow to wait. He's just waiting. And the term that I use a lot, as you know, is practicing the presence of the Lord. This is one way where you sit there. You've had your praise, you've had your worship, and here this morning we became quiet, didn't we? Because that was waiting upon the Lord. Being quiet, that was a part of waiting. There's other parts as you go through today, but the point is letting his presence soak into us, letting his love soak into us, letting those things happen in our lives that we know, that we know, that we know. We're getting more and more intimate with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. More and more intimate. More and more relationship. Closer and closer. Him living through us. Praise God. Putting it in a... I just did, never mind. Another phrase that goes along with that expression is to persevere in tranquil rest. With expectation. It's not just a rest. When you look at that being still, it is with anticipation, expectation of something happening after that rest, after that being still. Expecting God, I'd say, expecting God to use us that day or use us this time or even share with one another now before we get out of here, use us before we even get out of the room. But that's the idea. There's an expectation for God to move, which is part of our attitude, as we've talked about. Okay, now. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Because we're reading here their future. Go ahead.
Definition of fret, because a fret is on a guitar.
Yeah, well, this fret... Okay, I'll go back to the definition. I'm sorry. To fret means to become irritated, to become a little bit of agitated, then to begin to worry. I don't know what's going to happen in this world around me. I see so much corruption, so much evil. It's so different than it was 10 years ago. That's fretting. And the Bible says, do not be anxious, because the fretting leads to anxious. That's where Satan wants us to all day long. That's all we do is think about that instead of him, of what he wants us to do, missing appointment after appointment after appointment that he has for us. See? Because he has divine appointments for us all day long if we open our eyes and see it.
So in other words, being played.
Yeah, that's it. Well, he does. It's deceived. Yes, being played with a fret. There we go. I love this, guys. I love you guys. I do. This is a definite part of my family. Amen. Yes, our family, or seen in mine. Yes, yes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. When we're fretting and we got that anxiety, we got that worry and everything else, we're releasing. Who? We're not releasing the Holy Spirit. We're not releasing God. We're allowing the enemy to take ground. We're allowing the enemy to start putting thoughts in our mind. He will replay. You see a scene showing the evil. He will replay that in your mind as often as you let him. You have to stop it. You have to literally stop it. Why? Because what's in the mind and keep in our mind goes down in our heart. And it disturbs. That's why the book, Guard Your Heart. Because it disturbs. You see, we started out with a heart of the world. We began putting the Word of God in the things in us, and then we had a heart of God. But now Satan wants to disturb that. Throw it out of balance. Do something to shake it up. You know, so that we start losing a little bit of trust. We start losing a little bit of commitment. We start losing a little bit of what is said here, see? And then we need a brother or sister to say, hey, Dave, shape up. You really don't mean those words come out of your mouth, do you? No, I don't. You're absolutely right. I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking. See? This is this. So this is why it's so important. And this is why this psalm is so important. Okay, because it constantly brings back to us. Okay, now, you know Dave. Dave's not going to do all the work, especially this week. I leave you with homework. So you may take a copy.
Going back to fretting, because as you were explaining it further, it also can bring about fear.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. That's what it does, and that's how it takes us down the road. See, it takes us, when that fear starts coming in, then that's starting to take us down to there's no hope. God is hope. The devil is hopeless and wants us to be hopeless. He's hopeless, and he wants us to be hopeless. Amen. Yes, thank you. That was good. I need all of you. Great. Now, I don't want you to write on these today. Okay? I want you to take it home and you're going to write on them. But I have an example here and I'm going to give a couple other examples from my life. And there's three columns here. One is instructions. The next one is promises. And the next one is happened. Happened in our life. We saw it in a brother or sister. But those promises are real. And amen. And if we open our eyes, we see them in our life. And we see them in the lives of others around us in the body of Christ. So, when you go home, I want you to work on this. I want you to read Psalm 37 again and again and again. I want you to break it down in sections. You can break it down finer than I did. But the reason I don't want you to write on it also today is because I want you to make copies of it. Back there, you can purchase a notebook from me. The whole purpose of the notebook is it's a workbook. The purpose of that, and every single section has a handout, a table to be filled out. And the instructions are, before you do anything, make copies of that. If you're going to study this section, you know, how to overcome stress, make copies of the handouts for the tables, okay? Because now you can fill them out today. You can fill them out 2 or 3 months from now to see how you're doing. Because if you fill them out today, you should have some things you want to improve. And now you look 2 or 3 months down the road with a brand new sheet. How did I do? See, I believe in growth. I am here to strengthen and encourage the body of Christ. That is a calling that's on my life. Can't define it any better than that. You go to my website, that's exactly what it'll be defined of there. So, that's why I do things the way I do. Because I have learned, and I have sat, and I've heard wonderful messages, and walked out of the door, and Satan is busy stealing the stuff from me. Even my notes, all of a sudden, I can't read some of them. I mean, he's just there trying to steal and rob from what we had. And by the way, I'll bet I'm one of the few people that ever did this. I got, oh man, at men's breakfast, I was taking notes from the speaker. Well, Dave was so smart, he left his tablet at home. I'm looking around, there's not a piece of paper in me, not in my wallet, not in any place. So I turned the lunch, I went up and got another lunch plate, turned it upside down, and took my notes. And that was noted. I was kidding about it. They said, man, you challenge us with that. We're without excuse. Then, man, I need them. And they say, yes, we all need them. So anyhow, that's, yeah, I love to tell these things because God has such a humor. Jesus and humor, that's my way through life. So here are some examples. Verses 9 to 11, if you take them as a whole, we're to hope in the Lord. We're to be meek. That's humble, not weak. Meek is not weakness. Very important to understand. Meek is humble, lets the other person talk, listens, and then brings in the wisdom of God and brings in strength. Promises are inheriting the land and enjoying great peace. You see, a counter this to this whole psalm is Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, a peace that nobody can adequately describe, guards your hearts and your minds. Right? And here we are. We got a whole psalm on it, you know, backing that up. So, and of course, all through the Bible. But I like this because it's in one place. And I like this because it challenges me. And by the way, you know how I know my book was written by God? Not only did he do it in 2 months, but I know it was written by God because every time I open that cover and start to read, it challenges me. The conviction of the Holy Spirit starts to come in. Dave, get back to that. You're glassing up on that. Come on, Dave. You've known this for years. Get going. So anyhow, I'm just putting those things in because I really believe them. And it's being used in more and more countries. I'm so excited because I write in the book, give it to them. Today it's going to Iran, second person. I just write in the cover of their book. And inside their book, I said, I gave you permission to read this in English and write it in whatever language the people are you're ministering to. And God had to edit it so I could do that. I didn't realize it, but they edited it. They said, this could be done that way. So I'm thankful. And we all have outreaches. All have outreaches. Well, you can go down through, I'm not going to tarry on this, but you can go down through and you can see here are clumps of verses. So I could get it on one page. And then you can see instructions that are there. You can see the promises that are there. And as you pray, God will give you the revelations. For example, we were swindled in a land deal, the very first one. Inherit the land and enjoy great peace. We were swindled in a land deal, my first wife and I, over the Poconos. And God gave us a peace about it. He gave us a peace about it. And then, back then, timeshare was the place to be. Because we got in at the ground levels, our kids did all kinds of activities that we couldn't afford to have them do. All that stuff was part of the package so that we would be the first 50 or 100 or 200 that, you know, got into this timeshare thing. It wasn't overcrowded like it is today. It wasn't expensive like it was today. And we had the lowest level, and we go down to Florida, the best places. So it was totally different than today. But you know what God did? I can't even take care of my own place. He didn't want me to have another place to take care of. He didn't want me to have another piece of land, another building on there that I go see on vacation time. But I spend the vacation fixing up the building, taking care of it, getting everything done, and then go back home exhausted. He knew that. Dave, you don't need that. I got something better for you. And he did. For the years the kids were growing up and stuff, fantastic. Fantastic. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it today because there's a lot of alternatives. But back then, it was a big deal. And it freed us. It gave us freedom. We actually had vacations. So, in conclusion now today, which only takes an hour, but you know how pastors are. In conclusion, don't get too excited. But in conclusion, we should be living Psalm 37. You understand? We should be living that psalm today in America, in the circumstances and the things that we have around us, number one. Okay, now, I have a new expression for you, very much like the old expression, but much more biblical. Live your life like Jesus is coming back today. Not tomorrow, not soon. Live it like he's coming back today. We could go to lunch and he appears. There's not a lot of stuff that has to be done before he comes back again. Like that. The technology today, it's reached all over the place. We don't even know where it's going and stuff. And the Bible's been translated in practically every language. There's only a few left that they feel they have to translate. And where the Bible isn't known by people, Jesus appears in the air to them. And a whole village gets saved. So live today like Jesus is coming back today. He might come in your Sunday afternoon nap. Well, how are we going to live that? Heavenly Father, you know that I need rest. You told me to take rest. And so I'm crawling up in your arms. I'm just forgetting about everything, not going to solve anything, not going to do anything. I'm just going to rest and fall asleep in your arms. If he comes back, you're ready. You're there. See? Now, this was said today, but I'm going to say it another way. Don't let anyone steal your vision. Don't let anybody steal your vision. Now, vision is where you believe God wants you to go. Okay, it's a vision. It's some people call it a calling, whatever it is, you know. Every one of you has a vision. Starts from the imagination, and then God shapes it to the vision that he wants it to be. And it's not always the same in every stage of life. It can change in different seasons of life as you go through. God will shape it to what he wants you doing in that season of life and things. But there is a vision. Now, the next statement, a vision without a plan is a dream. A vision without a plan is a dream. So, how are you going to get to the vision? You start asking God, taking one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. But your plan is to reach that vision. And my experience is, he'll be telling you the next step, and he'll be telling you what you got out of the last step, which will you need for the next step, or the step after that. It all works in together. Okay? But you need to lay out a plan right there. Because otherwise, you won't live it out. Because you won't see when you got to make a decision. You see, we have free will. We have to make decisions sometimes. No, I shouldn't be doing that because here's how I'm supposed to spend my time. Or here's where I'm supposed to study in the Word of God. Or here's where I'm supposed to go hear speakers and things. Or here's where I'm supposed to give to people, see? So it's really important to have that plan to keep the focus. Keep the focus going. So I encourage you to do that. Just do that. Because you need a plan with the vision. And then, and if you can't think of a plan, God will show it to you. He'll start revealing it to you. You see, I thought I would be doing what I'm doing right now. I thought I would be doing it the moment I left the pastorate. And I had temptations to go to places. They weren't the places where we were to settle down and be, you know, our home church. Ended up with a job that I took that gave me a year. Yes, we were serving people, but I was in the office, so I didn't have hands-on people, and God knew I wanted to have hands-on people. But in the meantime, he's training me. Training me to do what I call scripture application sessions. Started in the home church. They had somebody doing that for years, and then he had moved on. He had to relocate and be near his family, got old. And there was a big void. And I realized that for years, that's what I had done, with people coming in the office, sitting down, things like that. So what happened was, I said to the pastor, could I do some scripture application sessions with people? He lit up like a light bulb because he said, I've read your book. I would talk to him the same way. He was all excited. I had to laugh. He gave me an office, which has changed regularly. I will have a place to go when people come in. But it's like a floating office, depending on what other stuff they're doing there that night. But there's always a place set aside to be in confidence with those people. And so then I love Bible studies. He's given me a year of training in Bible studies, further than I had. Being in Bible studies with people that have spent as much time as I have in the ministry. So it was really interesting because I've been in all kinds of ministry. So I came out of my church ministry, you know, pastoring into pastoring right across the board, seeing how it's done and seeing what they're doing and what they're saying. And Bible studies, how do you do Bible studies, you know, in a broader way, in a more sense. Now, got an offer every Friday night to do a family Bible study. Just happened with a family who's going to, and when they say family, they're talking about cousins, aunts, uncles, whoever, you know, to draw them into there. They want me to come every Friday because they want a regular thing and ground them. And there will be quite a few of baby Christians that will be coming in, and I get the joy and excitement of helping them grow, helping be with them, see. Took a year to get me trained, to get me to that place to do that. I had the vision. I came back. The plan was a little bit lacking, and so God says, well, I'll put the plan in place. You just watch. And I could see more and more and more. I was getting less and less desirous of where I was working and more desirous of wanting to be full-time hands-on with people. And when the time came, he's made the change. So I've rambled on now. I'm going to stop. But listen, I love you people very much. And I just love being here. Now, here's the first page of the handout, because I didn't want you looking at it while I was talking. So you can have this to go with it, too. Thank you. Now, if anybody wants prayer, they can come up or whatever they want to do, fellowship, prayer, whatever, I'm here. Sure, absolutely.
My question is, when you have things that come against you that are real, and Satan's trying to plant fear in your mind, mm-hmm. Okay? I think of the armor of God, but I think of the Holy Spirit says, above all, protect your heart.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you when you've got big things coming against you that you didn't bring it on? It's just life hitting you.
Yes, I did. I give messages like this. That brings it on. But all kidding aside, faith declarations. Whether they're just stated as a faith declaration or as a simple truth. God, I thank you for your presence here with me. I thank you for your love that I've seen again and again throughout the day. You had a thought?
Yeah, I had a major falling out with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad called me a dreamer. I'm a natural born leader. Mm-hmm. I'm an egonost. Does that make me a failure because I listen to my family?
No. Listen,
this is
that's
my family here.
Don't listen. Okay, there's a nice short thing I didn't say that I should have said. And I had in my notes. Impossible is not a fact. Everybody treats it as though, it's impossible for you to mount anything. That's what it said about me. And my guidance counselor laughed at me, if you remember, when I wanted to go to college. It tried to get through the two-year school, and God changed it from F's to A's, and then got me through a four-year school. And so they're just opinions. When people use the word impossible, that's their opinion. You don't have to believe it. You're told nothing is impossible with God.
Right? Right.
But we don't think of it as their opinion. We let it start to shape us. That's why there's a chapter in there about who are we? What's our identity? Our identity is what Christ says about us, what God says about us. I'm David Farnholz here presenting a message to you, but I'm David Farnholz, a Christian. A follower of Jesus Christ presenting a message to you. I was David Farnholz in college. I was David Farnholz in the workplace. And I'm David Farnholz here, a Christian in every one of those places. That's what I do, that's how I handle those things. And I say, God, the only one I'm worried about pleasing, and I really, really want to make sure I'm pleasing, is you. And you know the three-page list that everybody in the church wanted me to do shrunk to about four or five things a day that really had breakthrough? See, you're getting me going again. I got to behave. Does that help? Does that answer some of your question? The Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. Very, very powerful. And that's what we have to use. That's what Jesus used when the devil tried to distract him. And that's what we have to use. Yes, sir. Pardon? He's coming. Okay. Yes, sir.
Today, I see for all that are blind.
Today, you what?
I see for all that are blind.
Good. Good. Praise God. I am glad for you. Father, I pray that you continue to use my brother, that he is only beginning in what you have for him. It's been good. There's been things he's done. He's shown love to people. He's done things. But I thank you today that his eyes are open. I thank that his spiritual eyes are open, the regular eyes. Everything, Father God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And I pray now you continue to fill him from your word to truth. The truth. Give him the grace to share it in love and to help others see. To help others see spiritually. To even let the blind see. The blind see that they can see print. They can see what they need to see. As well as pushing back the deception that's been peddled on them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother. Praise God.
I had this in my heart, and I said, well, I'm not a very great speaker. I mean, I've been shining all my life, but I thought I didn't want to take with me. I had to share with all of you. 37 years ago when I came to the Lord, and the Lord said to me, I never knew that God would speak to people. I mean, I only was just Catholic. And he said, I chose you to help me to clean this earth. I thought was something's wrong with my mind. I said, what's going on in this earth? Because I only went into church and lived a good life, but I did not know the Bible as I know today. And so 3 months ago, maybe 2-3 months ago, I was looking at things in this world, and I would see the things, and I was not very pleased. And I said, the Lord said, God, what is going on? And he said, well, we're living in an upside down world. And also he told me about, I don't know, maybe 5 months ago, he told me to pray for the world. And I believe if God told me, he tells all of us to pray. And not only for ourselves, but mostly for also for our grandchildren. Because when we grew up, it was much better life. He's safe. So we have to pray for the world to be a better place to live.
Amen.
Wow. Sister May?
This man that wants to be the dreamer, don't give it up. I quit school when I was in 10th grade. I had 1 week to go, so I could have went to 11th. And I was sorry afterwards because I took sick and I couldn't go back to school because I quit school. So I got married. I had 5 children. I was around 40, 50 years old. I went and applied to the American school out in Chicago, and I got my high school diploma. So you don't have to give up your dream. Then I said to my husband, I want to go to college now. My husband says, no. The kid said, Mom, we can't go without your paycheck. We had 5 children, and we had a lot of expenses with the house that we lived in, so we couldn't afford for me to quit my job. So I waited and I waited. Well, my husband died. I lived down near Lancaster County, and I came up here to live with my daughters, and I've been up here since 06. I moved here Christmas time 05, though, but I started going to church in 06. So then there I am. I came all the way up here, and I went to this one church, and they started a college going. I was the oldest person in that college, and I got my first diploma in a college. And that was 2 years ago.
Can someone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Who is that woman? Don't give up your dreams.